ears were stopped up. All right. We've been talking about a lot of things that have everything to do with focus. And while, again, focus is a word that we use a lot, we've built it on the premise of the fact that, yes, it's easy to talk about, but we already know that it's tough to do. And so tonight we're going to wrap that up. If you'll take your Bibles and go to Matthew 14, 25 through 32. Matthew 14, 25 through 32. Somebody just read that out loud. It's a familiar story.
About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "It's all right," he said. "I am here. Don't be afraid." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water." "All right, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. "You don't have much faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped.
I have always been intrigued by this passage. And I think this has everything to do with focus, but not for the reasons that are apparent. I mean, I think we could look at the passage and immediately there's that quick jump that we can make, that Peter was okay on the water while he was focused on Jesus, and the minute he took his focus off and put it on the wind, he sunk. Now, there is a great life lesson in focus there, no doubt about it. And maybe that is the lesson that you ought to walk away with. But there's something else that's there. Because I've always given Peter a lot of credit for this, because Peter got out of the boat and no one else did. And while the other goofballs were in the boat, Peter did something they had never done and came away with an experience of understanding a little bit more about what it means to live out the call of Christ, because he actually went out on the water with Jesus as opposed to just riding the boat watching. He became a participant. He quit being a spectator for a moment. Now, Peter did what we all do. He lost a little focus. He messed up, but there is, thanks Mark, but there is something about what we have been talking about when we talk about focus that really is easy to talk about, but not very easy to do. And so if you want to have focus in your life, let's take yourself, your life, and put it in that boat with Peter for just a minute. And here are some things that I think God wants to remind us when it comes to focus. And here's the first one, and it's simply this. In your life, there is a call. There is always a call. You are called by God to be something. And so everything that we've said up to this point about focusing on Him, living a life for Him, learning to see Him, learning to be obedient to Him, there really is a seriousness to that, because that is a call of God in your life. He has called you to do something. He's called you to be something. He's called you to be more than you are. And God asks ordinary people like us to put in Him an extraordinary amount of trust. And we never really discover what He wants to do with us until we're willing to trust Him that way. And so we settle for a lot less. Now, this really does tie into some of the things we've been saying on Sunday morning, because what we do sometimes is we settle for less, and we don't even realize we've settled for less, and we don't realize that we're missing out on anything, because, like some of the disciples, they would never know what it was like to be out on top of the water, but Peter did. Even though he sunk, he knew what it was like. He knew what that supernatural, only from God, ability was. And don't kid yourself, in the first century when it was all said and done, Peter, as a mover and shaker, did things, I am convinced, because of that one experience, that these other guys never did. I don't think it's an accident that Peter was the leader in the early church as he was. I think Peter understood something about faith that these other guys, they knew about, but they had never experienced the level he had. There is a call of God that comes to all of us, and we have to deal with that. When we're talking about focus, I really do think that the call of God is to stay focused on Him. Now, I mean, there's a whole lot of other things we can say about that, but when we dumb it down, that's what it comes down to. You stay focused on Him. You keep your eyes on Him. You keep looking for, watching for, and following his lead, your life is going to be different. There's a call. But the second thing, and I think this is just as real too, is there not only is a call, but there's also always fear. Because if you're not afraid, when you start dreaming about and thinking about some of the things that God may be taking you to do, you're just not real honest. Because, see, we do a lot of things that, you know, while they seem like a big deal, they're not a big deal. But when you start thinking about things on an eternal scale, and that they count for eternity, and that the Creator of the universe has called you to do it, that becomes huge. That becomes huge. I may have told you this, and if I told you this, just kind of nod at me and I'll zip it right away. I had a conversation with somebody about a week and a half ago, where they were really struggling with something, and there was just a whole lot going on in the world. And somewhere in the midst of that conversation, I asked them a question, and the question that I asked them, and they were making some bonehead choices, but the question I asked them is, do you hear somewhere in your heart, your head, a voice that is telling you what to do? And they looked at me really funny and they said, yeah. I said, and what is that voice telling you to do? And the voice, of course, was telling them to do the right thing. You know, I mean, they're making bonehead decisions, but they know the right thing to do. Now, golly, isn't that us most of the time? You know, if you really start talking out loud about the decision you're making and it's a bad one, and if someone goes, hey, hold time out, do you know any better than this? You go, yeah, I do. How do you know that? Well, there's something telling me that. Okay, do you hear a voice that tells you that? I mean, what is that telling you? You know, who is that telling you that? Well, so they admitted, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do. I said, okay. I said, let's just forget about what you're getting ready to do with it. I said, do you realize what you just heard? And they just went, no. I said, you just heard the voice of the Creator of all eternity. He just spoke to you and told you what to do. I said, now, I mean, you're getting ready to go screw your life up, and I can't do anything about that. But there is a moment here that is very, very awesome because God just spoke to you. I said, isn't that wild? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that amazing that God would speak to you like that? You heard the voice of God. Isn't that just mind-numbing? Doesn't that just rattle your bones? And they sat there and kind of got a little funny look on their face. And they said, I never thought of it that way. I said, that's what just happened. Now, you may walk away from here and choose to ignore the voice of God. And you know what? God may never talk to you that way again. I mean, you can harden your heart enough and you can get your mind just kind of numb enough where, you know, you're not even going to listen for this voice anymore. But I want you to know that on your calendar somewhere today, because I was here when you just told me this, we can mark down that you heard the voice of God. Do you realize that some people go through their entire life and never realize that God has said anything to them? I think you ought to just drop your knees right now and just start praying because God just spoke to you. And that is just the coolest thing that will ever happen in your whole life. Because one day you're going to stand right before Him again. And you're going to hear the voice again and go, dang, I've heard that voice before. I said, and you better hope it's okay with God if you say dang. And they looked at me real funny. And they said, that's kind of scary. I said, you're darn right it's scary. That's why the Bible says, fear the Lord is beginning of wisdom. And when God calls you, there needs to be a healthy fear to this thing. There needs to be a healthy fear to this thing. Because I got to tell you, I desperately want to do what God wants me to do, but I also realize something about God. If I can do it without God, God's not going to call me to it. Why would He? He doesn't have to. See, sometimes in our heads we get this idea that, you know, God's never going to call us to anything that's, you know, that we can't handle. And He'll give you what you need, but when He calls you, you can't handle it. Our theology sometimes gets a little wacky about that because we just sit back and immediately we go, well, okay, I really can't do that. God wouldn't call me to do that. Oh, yeah, He would. That's God. Let's go back and let's do a quick rundown. Moses, what was he doing? Well, he's a shepherd, a murderer, and a shepherd. He's wandering around the desert. And God says to him, I'm going to use you to lead my people who've been in captivity for years and years and years and years, and they're going to follow you, and you're going to lead them, and you're going to take them to the promised land. Moses had run away from Egypt. I mean, he'd run. He was a fugitive. Do you think Moses went, I can do that? Of course he didn't. He told God the same. I can't do that. I can't do that. Sure you can. Sure you can. Along the way, you think over and over again about the people that he asked to do things. And even Peter. You know, Peter's problem when he got out of the boat was that at some point he started looking around going, I can't do this. You're right, you can't, Peter. And he sunk. He sunk. Because immediately, the minute that it was up to Peter to walk on water, Peter can't do it. And he understood that. But as long as Peter believed and remembered that Jesus had called him to be there, he was able to overcome his fear and stay out there. For you and I to say we're going to put our focus on God, I told you the whole time for 3 weeks now that if it were easy, anybody would do it. This is why they don't do it, because it's scary stuff. If you were to walk out this door and go, you know, I'm going to start looking for, you know, the God of the red Jeep Cherokees, and I'm just really going to keep my eyes open. And when I see God working, I'm going to notice it. I'm going to stop. I'm going to pray, praise Him. I'm going to thank Him for it. And I'm going to ask Him, God, what do you want me to do? You know, when you start praying and say, God, what do you want me to do now? And if you're not just a little bit fearful of what it might be because it's going to take you outside your comfort zone, you're not really thinking through this very well. Now, you don't need to be terrified of it. Because the good news is, just like Peter, if Jesus says do it, you're going to be okay. He's going to give you what you need to get there. But understand that if you take an inventory before you walk out of that boat and you get busy at it, probably you're going to come up short on that inventory list. And you're going to start thinking, I am in way over my head. Yes, you probably are. But when God gets in the mix, you'll be just fine. There always is a call. There is an element of fear. And there always is, if you will listen, reassurance that you're never alone. It is that voice that you hear that tells you what the right thing to do is. It's the presence of God. It is that inner peace that comes when you know, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's going really well. That's God. It is when you move outside of your comfort zone and discover, you know, it's not quite as bad out here as I thought. God promises to you His presence. And He promises to always be with you, wherever you are. And He also promised to give you whatever you need to fulfill the assignment that He has called you to. That's what God obligated Himself to do. And so that's why we can have a confidence when we really start putting our focus on Him, we begin to see these things a lot clearer. But there is more. There also is always a decision. There's always a decision that's made. Some people say yes, some people say no, but people do decide whether they're going to do this or not. And God lets you decide that because He loves you. Remember the very first week we talked about what is love, what is unconditional love? Okay, God's not going to love you any less if you say no. He loves you as much as He's going to love you. We talked the first week. How do we know about unconditional love is? Where's the model for that? And I reminded you, your love that God has for you, the gift of love that He gives to you, is not based on your performance. You can be the worst goof up in the world. He loves you. You can be the most spiritual saint in the world. He loves you. His love is a done deal. But you will make a decision of what you're going to do with your life. You don't have to worry about Him loving you. And because He loves you, you can tell Him no. You can tell Him no. And I think my question then becomes, but why would you? Why would you? Why would we ever want to look back at God and say no? And when we choose to say yes and no, there's something else that happens. There's always a changed life. and the life you change is your own. Because for every moment in your life when you've told God yes and you found Him to be faithful, that changes you. It changes your heart. For every moment in your life when you told God no, that also has changed you and made you more resistant to doing what God wants you to do. But there's always changes. There's always changes. And when God calls us and He says, you know, put your focus on me, and all of these things start falling together, then our life really does either go one of two ways. It either becomes streamlined, where we really begin looking for and trying to observe and trying to plug in and trying to be a part of those things that God is doing, or we just decide, no, I'm just not going to do it. We just settle for less. But it's a choice. It's a choice. If it were easy, everyone would do it. No one said it would be easy. Is it worth it? Oh, yeah. Is it fun? Oh, yeah. Is it an adventure? No doubt about it. Will you learn stuff? Yes. Will you do things you've never thought you could do? No doubt. Or you can settle for just doing your time. Just doing your time. And you start missing what God is doing around you, and you get to the point where you don't even look at it anymore. You don't look for it anymore. So if you think back what we've done up to this point, you know, we started with His love. We talked about learning to look for Jeep Cherokees. We talked about all the dynamics of that simple lesson and how it applies to your spiritual life. And in there, we talked about the spiritual dynamics that it takes to grow, the things that happen, the conversation that need to take place. And we come back now. Last week, we talked about intentionally focusing your life. And then tonight, we start wrapping up by looking at these things here. And we realize all of a sudden that focus is an everyday choice that you're going to make. You decided this morning, I guess, or whatever time you got up, where your focus was going to be today. We always do that. And we do it in every other area of our life. You wake up in the morning with a to-do list of things you're going to do. You've put your focus somewhere today. You're going to accomplish these things through the course of this day. And you check things off your list, or you accomplish those. But very few of you just did nothing today. I mean, very few of you just plopped down on the couch and said, okay, what am I going to do today? I'm going to watch whatever I can find on my cable television set. I mean, some of you may have done that. And if you did, you had a great day. That's great. But, you know, maybe. But most people don't do that. You'd had some things that needed to happen today. You did it. But the real question is, did you focus on the main thing? And the main thing today should have been, what is God doing today in my life that I need to be aware of, that I can be doing for Him, that He's trying to speak to me? Where is He trying to send me? What am I going to be doing today that will excite the heart of God? What will I do? See, I am convinced that our life is a great adventure. And I think that as we take that adventure, we discover that life outside the comfort zone really can be a whole lot of fun. And once we start experiencing life outside that comfort zone, we discover that, you know, we're just comfortable wherever God takes us. And as He takes us there, we also find out that we don't have to be in control, but He is. And not only is He in control, but He's always faithful. And He never leaves us by ourselves. We don't have to be afraid. And when we keep our focus on Him, we begin to see and see a lot more clearly what He is trying to do and what He's trying to accomplish in the world around us. And let me stop for a minute, because we've just got a couple of minutes left. Questions about that or anything else up to this point? While we've tried to do it in very practical ways with practical illustrations, understand the topic itself is not light. It's not a light topic. Hear voices. You know, it's a joy, that open roof. All right. As we wrap up, my challenge to you is, understand, as you put your focus on God, it is a matter of taking baby steps a little bit at a time. Think of it this way. We illustrated last week with a diet. And ironically, we have a prayer request about that tonight. you know, a diet. But you get to a point where you get the first year and you make, you know, you get to a point and you say, you know, gosh, you know, I said I'm going to lose 9,000 pounds this year, and here I am at the end of January, and I've lost 2. Why am I torturing myself like this? Because you weren't realistic about January and say, I'm going to lose 2 pounds in January and lose 2 more in February. You're thinking about the 9,000, not the 2. And you never hit it. You never hit it. You know, I know people want to be millionaires, but they can't save 10 bucks. Well, they want to be millionaires. Well, everybody wants to be a millionaire. But you know, you got to do something to get there from where you're at, if that's what you really want. And so you think of it in baby steps. The best illustration of this is think about David, King David, when he went out to face Goliath. If you can remember the encounter, when he said, I will go face Goliath. And King Saul looked at him and said, you have lost your mind, young man. Do you remember what David said to him when Saul said, you're crazy. Why do you think you can do this? What did David say? And this is a paraphrase. You can go back and read it for yourself. But what did he say? Remember? God will do it to him. But he actually taught. I mean, he laid it out for the king. Remember the details of it? He started telling the king Saul stories. What did he talk about? Yeah. He talked about the fact that he's watching sheep and a bear comes along. Well, you know, he killed the bear. He killed the lion. All of a sudden, David didn't wake up one day and go, well, it's a 9-foot giant out there. I just go out there and I'll just take off his head. What had happened in David's life prior to that? David had discovered through battling a lion, battling a bear, that this God that he followed and tried to live for was incredibly faithful. So he figured, lion, bear, Goliath, okay, I'm there. He didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to just go kill a giant. He woke up each and every day and said, God, I'm going to do my job. Oh, there's a lion, but this is my job. I'll kill the lion. And here comes the bear. What are you going to do with that? I got to kill the bear. Well, you know what? Now there is a giant out there. But I already have figured out that God's faithful. He took little steps. Yeah, well, yeah, sure. Sure. But you know, but again, He didn't go after the 9-foot Goliath. Yeah. Yes. That is the same truth. If you're going to be this person God wants you to be, and you pick any area of your spiritual life, your spiritual journey, and put a spiritual discipline in your life, and you say, you know what, I'm going to read the Bible through in a year, and you don't read the Bible once a day, you're not going to make it. I'd just be thrilled to death as your pastor if you said, you know what, I'm going to tackle one chapter of God's Word this week. I'm just going to read it till I get it. That'd be great. That'd be cool. It'd be awesome. Read it, get it, understand it, take notes on it. That's awesome. You know, I want to grow in an intimate relationship with God this year, and I want to talk to Him and hear His voice better than I've ever heard before. That's great. That is a great, great goal. Why don't you start by praying quietly somewhere, get by yourself, and set up a time at least for 10 minutes to start and pray 10 minutes. Don't get up and say, I'm going to get up an hour early and pray from 5 to 6 a.m. every day, and I'll be closer to God when you're done. No, you'll just be sleeping from 5 to 6. Not going to happen. How about getting up at 5:45 and then waking up and then praying from 5:55 to 6 and try that for a while? That's a good start. Then work up to 10 minutes. I mean, whatever you got to do, don't overshoot. Learn to put your focus on some narrower things. And then you'll see clear the bigger things. That's the way focus works. Not easy, but you can do it. Let's pray.